Hello, everyone, and welcome to this special episode of Connectivity. I'm Scott Thompson. Today I'm joined by Alex Coffey.
Hey there.
Mike Sklens.
Hi.
And Zach Miller. Spot on. And today we're going to be talking about Season 2 of Orange is the New Black. Just kidding.
Oh, hell.
Though I would love to talk about that. We are reacting to Nintendo's, I think, relatively positive E3 conference that was today.
Yeah.
We've all seen it. It's been a few hours now, so I think we've had time to process and come up with just a lot of opinions of everything we saw. We're going to go through it in basically the order that it was presented to us. I've got a list here of everything that was talked about. We'll probably talk a little bit about stuff that was after the conference, different things that were announced. And the treehouse thing that's pretty much just run all day with different trailers and playthroughs and different things like that. So let's start first, because Alex, you mentioned this right before we recorded that you wanted to talk about this, but before we get into any of the games, let's talk about just in general the pre-recorded conference and kind of just what we thought about that format. Alex, I'll let you start because you seemed like you had some negative things about it.
I don't think there's anything wrong with the Nintendo Direct format by itself. The digital event, although I do think that they had a strong enough showing that they could have done a press conference, at least compared to maybe Microsoft and EA this year, they probably had a strong enough showing to do a press conference if they wanted, but the digital thing doesn't bother me by itself. What bothers me is that they had 47 minutes of game announcements, but they had 90 minutes of game announcements. Which means that we had about 47 minutes of a pretty tight show, if not a little bit rushed. And then the rest of Tuesday became a hunt of find the news. And, like, I know that, like, you could spin this as, oh, but Nintendo has so much news that it just can't fit in 47 minutes. Well, it should have fit in 90 minutes. Like, it's, I know that, like, oh, we're going to have news all of E3. That's actually kind of annoying to me. What I really would have wanted, just keep most of the news in one place, keep like a surprise announcement for the Smash Bros. Direct, keep a surprise announcement for the 3DS thing tomorrow night, maybe a surprise announcement for the Treehouse, three small surprise announcements. I should not be seeing Mario Party 10 stealth announced 5 minutes after the thing ends.
So what you're saying really is that you want Christmas... all the presents up front, but they're giving you Hanukkah, and you're not really cool with that.
Exactly.
This is exactly what they want. They want you to sit there and watch the coverage all day. Why should they want you to watch it all in 90 minutes when they can give you 47 minutes of it, and then dole the other 13 out, or 23 out, or however many? They can dole that out over the rest of the next 3 days. And force
they doled
you to watch
it out
it.
Within 30 minutes after
but
the
they're
presentation.
They're announcing something else tomorrow that we don't know about. This is
there's
what they want.
There's going to be one
they
more announcement tomorrow.
They are designing this whole thing so your attention is fixed on Nintendo for the whole of the show. You don't wander and look at Sony or Microsoft because what's Nintendo going to do next? They're always doing something live. What are they going to do next?
And you know what, Alex? I think I'd agree with you if this was happening yesterday with all the other conferences. But since pretty much everything had already happened, I was kind of okay with just being tuned in. Like, I had my browser open all day with the Treehouse thing on, and anytime something kind of caught my attention, I'd open it and I'd watch, and I watched, you know, the Xenoblade kind of play through and different things like that, and it worked, I think, to kind of just, like Mike said, keep you locked in all day. You go from the original conference all the way to the Smash Brothers tournament.
I streamed it on my phone while I was driving around town, like going to the dentist today. And I was sitting in the chair in the dentist's office, like the assistant came in and did her thing, and then I had to wait like 10 minutes for the hygienist to come in and do her thing, so I just pulled out my phone and watched like 10 minutes of them playing Splatoon while I was waiting for the dentist. It was really nice.
The one thing I will agree with you, Alex, is immediately when the conference was over, things kind of split in two directions. If you're watching the IGN presentation of it, they immediately had the exclusive review of a reveal of Devil's Third. Meanwhile, if you're watching like the Nintendo broadcast themselves, it went to the Treehouse thing, and then you got Mario Party 10 and like a small thing about Amiibo. So they're sort of revealing two separate things at the same time, and that kind of was confusing, I thought. But once that ended and then it was just like locked in on the Treehouse thing, I kind of liked it. Like this all day presentation. I thought that was cool.
In theory, the Treehouse thing can work. I understand the fact that they want to keep my attention fixated for the entire day, but that wasn't exactly the way it carried out. If that was the way it carried out, we would be seeing a game announcement every hour or every 45 minutes because they could have did that for the entire day. Instead, what happened was we got 47 minutes of announcements. In the next 30 minutes, we knew 99% of everything else, except it was really inconvenient to find everything, and it wasn't shown in as easy a format as the 47 minutes. So it was just a more annoying selection of new things I haven't seen before. The whole thing just came across as frustrating, and that's a shame because I actually thought most of their showing was pretty great overall.
Well, let's talk about it.
Yeah, let's jump in. We'll debate that more in the future. I'm sure we'll do more reaction next week, so we'll debate the format a little bit and talk about next E3 already. But let's jump in. So this one, so it opens immediately with like a robot chicken inspired, or maybe, do you think it was actually
I think it might have been commissioned.
No, there was Seth Green in there. That was the robot chicken.
And that was definitely the same Mario doll they've used on Robot Chicken.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, just unbelievable right out of the gate. And you've got like, just poking fun at kind of the whole E3 atmosphere, sort of the fans who are like demanding all these different series show up. And I just thought that was great. I mean, it caught me by surprise. I mean, my jaw hit the floor watching that. What did you guys think about all the, like, robot chicken stuff?
I thought it was funny.
I was pretty, pretty shocked. I was like, oh, they're really, like, they're going for it. Like,
yeah.
They did not, like, this is not a Nintendo Direct. Right away you can see that, oh, they've put a lot more money into this than they would a Nintendo Direct.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
I was a bit odd that the Fizamek didn't show up at all.
No, they want to save their, It seems like they're getting better with pacing out their jokes, because we didn't really get a My Body is Ready this time, but instead we got Iwata and Reggie fighting it out in a weird Smash Bros. Style.
And we got the Luigi death stare at one point.
Well, yeah, you get the death stare, you get some jokes about, like, the pronunciation of Reggie's last name, and then, yeah, you go from this, like, just super funny robot chicken thing to this, like, super, like, hyper... stylized, like semi-matrix fight, between Reggie and Iwata, and it was just so great, and it just was like complete fan service.
By the way, good on them for going back in and they definitely must have added the death stare in like this week, because that video has been finished for bare minimum at least 2 weeks.
Oh yeah, I guarantee it.
I would guess.
Yeah,
because you have to allow for time, for lead time in case something screws up, and then they get this opportunity to be like cash in on this trend immediately, like 2 days after it starts, right at E3, like perfect timing.
Yep. Yeah, that was fantastic.
Good on them for moving quick to capitalize on that move.
Yeah, love that. So then we got straight into some Smash Brothers news. A lot of good things and maybe kind of one surprising thing. But first of all, we can play as our Miis in Smash Brothers. I don't know that that's cool. Too much of a surprise.
That's pretty cool.
That's a good thing.
That is cool.
With three different, fighting styles.
Exactly. And I was gonna say, that to me is like the more interesting aspect
of totally
it.
Custom movesets. Like, Sakurai was talking about in the Smash Brothers Direct that they were gonna allow for characters to have custom moves. And that seemed like absolutely fucking bonkers when he said it.
Yeah.
But now going back, we know, the custom moves are gonna be used for the Mii fighters, and they're also gonna be used for the Amiibo fighters. Not the regular characters. They're all locked. But if you've got an Amiibo Mario, you can switch his moves up.
Yep. Yeah, so that was really cool. You've got the Miis, and like you said, Zach, you've got the three kind of different styles. What was it? So it was like shooter.
Sword fighter,
and then what was the like?
Brawler.
There you go, yeah. So that's pretty cool. So yeah, then you can kind of fine tune your Mii to basically play however you want. It sounds like, which is, I think is really great. The Amiibo stuff is interesting. You can just bring in any character during any match? I mean, I guess you'd have to turn that on or off in the options.
I assume that will not be available online mode.
No.
Maybe you're playing with friends or something, you know.
Right, if you're just playing like
in the full custom mode.
Yeah, the fun one. So that's pretty great, but what was surprising to me was Sakurai starts talking about the 3DS version, how they're doing a lot of testing right now, and announced that it's coming out in October. October 3rd, I believe.
We were told summer last time, weren't we?
We were told summer, yeah.
Which was still like sooner than a month I expected. Ago.
I mean, to be fair, September is still considered summer on the calendar, and they're missing it by, like, a couple days. So, but really, when you say summer, you mean, like, I thought you meant, like, August.
Oh, yeah. Right. Absolutely. Like, smack dab in the middle of the year. Because now, if we're getting the Wii U version. See, to me, getting the 3DS version in the summer, like, six or five months before the Wii U version, I was like, okay, I'll for sure get the 3DS version, because it's going to be there. I like Smash Brothers. Like, this is going to happen. But knowing now that maybe I'm going to have to only wait like a month and a half before the Wii U version comes out, do I really need the 3DS version?
This is where they need to come in and offer an incentive, like a discount for buying both.
Yeah, or some kind of...
Yeah, like an eShop discount.
Buy both by the end of the year and get like a 10 or something dollar eShop credit.
Get right, all the figures.
Or if there's just some sort of cross-promotional... our cross-platform, you know, reason to have both of them. Maybe if I play the 3DS version for a month and a half, unlock all the characters, then I can kind of, like, transfer my save data over and have everyone unlocked already in the Wii U version. That might be worth it right there. So, I don't know. But, yeah, that they kind of, like, stealthily dropped that that delay in there. I was kind of surprised by that.
Still not terrible. Like, in the grand scheme of things, like, there's still that part of me that expects both games to come out next March. I know it's a little... like impossible by today's standards, but just knowing how Brawl went down, there's still that little I guess delusional part in the back of my head that's like, what if these just got delayed again till like 2015?
They can't get delayed. It cannot. It is the holiday title.
Well, look, Alex, if they delay any of the Wii U game till 2015, we got nothing this year.
Yeah.
Literally nothing.
Except for
only
Toad.
Hyrule Warriors and Bayonetta.
Oh, yay.
Yeah,
I hope you like Japanese action games.
And Captain Toad. So the Smash Brothers conversation then kind of spiraled into Amiibo, because we saw the first use of that awesome Mario figure. Now, I didn't watch the little 5-minute Amiibo presentation after the conference, the digital conference, but Mike, you did. Do you want to talk a little bit about what they, what Bill Drennan kind of talked about?
Yeah, so from what I remember, he basically talked about how the Amiibo are, they're separate, they're like add-ons to games. So they talked about a lot in Smash Brothers where, because it's the first game that's going to support them, you can put the Mario Amiibo on your gamepad and it'll pull in like an Amiibo version of him into the game that you can either fight against, or you can fight it against another Amiibo that you have, or you can fight with it on your side against CPUs or I guess your friends. And then everything you do with this Amiibo, it's always CPU controlled, but everything you do with it, it builds experience points so it gets stronger and faster and it can jump higher and you can switch its moves up. So it eventually, I guess it starts out, I don't know if it starts out weaker than like default Mario or at equal to him, but he gets stronger. And then you can take your Amiibo and bring him over to your friend's house and put it on your friend's gamepad and your Mario can fight his Mario. Or your Mario can fight his Link or whatever, and you can battle him to see who's, like, the better Amiibo trainer.
Hmm.
And then they didn't really say what other games are going to do with him, but they said Mario Kart's going to use it. I assume
retroactively.
Yeah, they'll patch it in.
Honestly, Mario Kart would be worth it just if it saves your kart configuration.
Oh,
for that
yeah,
way
right?
You're not having to set it up every time you go to a friend's house and try to remember you know, your setup that you prefer.
Yeah.
I would pay however much for that.
They said Yarn Yoshi's going to use it.
Now that one, I don't know how that happens.
Mario Party 10.
Mario Party 10
is it. But that's pretty cool, yeah, the way they're describing it for Smash Brothers.
Yeah, it's cool that it's a platform that works across all your games, so you don't just buy these figures and you're stuck with them to play one game.
Right.
Or
yeah,
one
like,
series, even. It's,
right,
it's
like,
every
like
game.
Like Skylanders or Disney Infinity, yeah. So that's pretty cool. I mean, even if like it doesn't, like, so let's say you... Yoshi's Woolly World. Like, even if it doesn't, like, bring Mario in, maybe just putting a figurine on it will, like, give you more eggs or restore your health or, you know, something, just kind of a generic feature.
Maybe it'll make yarn versions of those characters appear in the game, which would be adorable.
That would be insane. Yarn Link running around.
Yarn Samus? Shut up.
So, yeah, so it's pretty cool. The figures look great. I don't know if you guys saw pictures later from E3. They've got, like, a display case with, like, five of them. They look fantastic.
Yeah, they look a lot better than I thought they would.
Yeah.
But it does make me question how much they're going to cost.
Those are prototypes, though. The final figures may be, you know, mass-produced, and they might be a little less fancy.
Very cheaper looking.
Yeah, that's true. So we'll see what happens. But I'm on board with this. I was kind of on the fence. I mean, I'm not a big proponent of, like, extra money to spend on games. I don't even really... do a lot with DLC, so buying these figures, I didn't really know how they were going to be incorporated, but it sounds great, and they look great, so these are the kind of things I'd probably buy just to put on my shelf.
I'm just thinking of what happens when they put, like, the first Club Nintendo exclusive one up on Club Nintendo,
then
the website just gets fucked completely.
That's true. Yeah, I'll start...
I'm courting coins. I'm not spending coins on anything else because I want to have enough. When that figure comes out, it's going to be worth a lot. This year, I'll tell you what, this year's platinum gift better be a fucking amiibo.
That'd be awesome.
Like, get me one, and
it's gonna be a sticker
I'll buy
sheet,
more.
Mike.
Sticker sheet.
It is. It's gonna be a sticker sheet.
They'll be puffy stickers.
Oh. If we're really lucky, we'll get pogs.
What?
Oh god.
I would want that so badly.
I have a set of Mega Man pogs from Nintendo Power.
What?
I think I threw them out, but I had them at one point.
Ah! So after the amiibo stuff, we moved then on to Yoshi's Woolly World. Formerly Yarn Yoshi has been retitled. We got a much more in-depth look at it here. What did you guys think? I think it looks fantastic.
Looks like Kirby's Epic Yarn, but with Yoshi.
I think, right. Scott, you had the best tweet about it. You said, I want to hug this game.
Yeah, the whole game, yeah. Looks great. I mean, like, Kirby's Epic Yarn looked fantastic, but what they're able to do with the Wii U and the textures and everything and the way things kind of move as they're pulled around and bunched up and everything, it just looks incredible. I mean, it really does look like it. The whole thing's made of yarn. After seeing Little Big Planet 3 last night, like, I think this puts that to shame.
I just love Yoshi. He's, like, using his little tongue to pull on the strings of yarn and unravel things.
Right.
And then he poops out the little yarn balls. Mm-hmm. And then he swallows another Yoshi and poops out another yarn Yoshi. And then the yarn ball thing makes so much sense with the way he shoots eggs.
Yep.
It's just, it's brilliant. It looks so cool. And I was not interested in this game at all last year. I thought it looked stupid and, like, derivative and just not good at all.
Well, I tweeted this, and, like, I did kind of just expect this to be Kirby's Epic Yarn with just Yoshi in it, but at this point now, it almost kind of looks like it could be the successor to Yoshi's Island that we've been waiting for.
Yeah, very true. And it makes me wonder why they even bothered with Yoshi's New Island.
New Island. Yeah, I agree. I mean, because this looks, it's exciting, it's doing new things, but it still has that Yoshi's Island feel. And I really feel like it's finally going to be that step forward for the series. I didn't expect it to so closely adhere to Yoshi's Island, but it really...
Yeah, it's got, like, the flowers and, you know, all that.
Right, the hidden, like, clouds that drop things.
Well, it's also got the squishy gems blocks from Kirby.
Right, so it kind of combines them both. But, yeah, there's definitely influence. I mean, Kirby's Epic Yarn, it doesn't at all feel like a Kirby game, really, apart from just some similar enemies. But this, like, combined those two series perfectly, I think. And one little thing I noticed as I watched another trailer for it later, there is health. You can see Yoshi's, like, pick up, like, health items, like little hearts that kind of encircle them. I think that's where the health meter is. So, unlike Kirby's Epic Yarn, it looks like there probably will be some difficulty. I think you can die. I think you'll have to restart levels, that kind of thing. Because a common complaint with Epic Yarn was, you know, it's fun, but, you know, there's no penalty. You don't die. I mean, you can just keep going through. You lose gems, so I guess you don't unlock everything. But is that really a deterrent for a lot of people? I don't necessarily think so.
I personally have two ways of looking at this game. The first is that this seems like the Yoshi game that Tezuka actually cares about, because Yoshi's New Island was, in all honesty, kind of crappy. Like, it's especially the more I think back on that game, the worse it becomes. Like, it's one of those. And I'm glad that Tezuka seems to care about this game a lot more as maybe even the main Yoshi game between the two. On the other hand, this does look like it is adhering very, very close to Kirby's Epic Yarn, that style of gameplay. And what that means is that if this is Kirby's Epic Yarn 2, it will have amazing visuals, and it does, and it will have amazing music, like it does. Kirby's Epic Yarn, some of the best music ever in a game, maybe. But the gameplay of Kirby's Epic Yarn, if you take all of the style away, it isn't really that special, in my opinion, at least. Like, it was pitifully easy in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And I think it was very repetitive as a platformer.
That's why it's called Kirby's Epic Yawn.
I just hope that...
Well, it looks like there'll be penalty
self-aware
in this game, so they seem to be learning something.
There was also penalty in Yoshi's
New Island. We just talked about how in Kirby there's not really any penalty, and this game appears to have it, so, you know, looks like they're
going
in the right direction
here.
Yeah, we'll have to see as we... Well, actually, Neil's played it, and I think if his impressions aren't up yet, they will be up very soon, so... We'll find out more about, you know, the elements of if there you can die and how difficult it just is. So
Neil will give it a 10.
That's true. I think in his impressions, he already gave it a 10 out of 10. But yeah, and then, you know, I was like totally into this, and then they showed the co-op mode, and that completely sold me. You know, these 2D platformers, I always play them cooperatively with my wife. We did it with Epic Yarn, and I'm so happy that this is going to have a two-player mode too, with an adorable little red Yoshi. I'll probably choose to be the second player just because I prefer red to green. And yeah, it just looks great. I'm so excited. Probably like my game of show, I would say.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how into it I am. So let's move on. Next, we were shown some gameplay footage of Captain Toad's treasure...
I'm gonna go with
Treasure Captain Hunter. Captain Toad Treasure Hunter.
Treasure Tracker, I think.
Tracker.
Yeah, Captain Toad Treasure Tracker. At first I thought this was just gonna be like DLC or an eShop exclusive.
I thought this was an eShop game from the minute they showed it. I was like, oh, this is... I thought DLC, but then they started showing a lot of content, so I was like, oh, okay, it looks like it'll probably be an eShop release. No, it's a retail game.
Yeah,
so that's impressive.
60 bones.
Yeah,
I guess they'll charge 50 for it, like they did for Donkey Kong.
I saw reported that it's for sure going to be 60.
Wow.
I think someone asked that somewhere.
That is gonzo that they would charge $60.
That's too much,
this.
I think.
They should be charging 50 for it, I don't know. We don't know how extensive it is.
So well, I was going to say if there's 200 puzzles or 200 levels or something, then okay, sure. But yeah, we'll just have to see how much there is to it. But price excluded. I really liked the look of it. I thought these sort of little like mini games were fun in Super Mario 3D World. It's kind of a good break up in the action. And it evokes a lot of like Super Mario 2. Toad's like picking up turnips and throwing them. A lot of levels had shy guys and stuff that were kind of wandering about. So
yeah.
I kind of like that it's like harkening back to that. I feel like they don't do enough with Super Mario 2. So I kind of like that they were paying tribute to that a little bit. But I think that's it. I mean, right? We just saw a little bit of gameplay. We weren't really seeing too much about it.
It looks like more Captain Toad, and I thought that was one of the best little aspects of Mario 3D World. I really wish there were more of those levels.
That's my favorite aspect of it.
I really wish there were more of those levels. So now, and I always thought they would add more via DLC, but the fact that we're getting presumably a shitload of them if they're going to charge $60, I'm really excited.
Yep. Yeah, me too.
Boss fights too.
What's that?
There was a boss fight shown too, which I thought was interesting.
That's true, yeah.
And it looks like a proper Mario 3D boss, which makes sense because this is the EAD Tokyo's, I suppose, mystery game that they were talking about for a while.
No, I think that was Splatoon, isn't it?
Is that EAD Tokyo?
I don't think they said who EAD Tokyo, who was developing Splatoon. They just showed the guys, and I don't know what studio those guys work for.
Well, this is one of the EAD Tokyo projects. Maybe they have two going on as of this moment, but I know this is one of them.
Well, yeah, because I wouldn't think this would demand
this is a small team. Yeah, that's for sure.
But yeah, it looks cool, and yeah, you're right, the boss fights and stuff, so that maybe it's not totally like just a sort of puzzle game, and maybe there's more action to it. I guess Toad picking up the turnip and throwing it at Shy Guys would imply that, so... we'll just see how that goes.
Captain Toad.
Ah, I'm into it, though. So next up, OMG Zelda.
I can't believe they dropped this in the middle of the press conference.
Yeah.
Digital event. It made me start thinking that they were going to save something really crazy for last if they were putting this in the middle, which didn't end up happening, which is kind of really shocking that they just put this smack in the middle of it, like, okay.
Right, yeah, but oh my god.
What?
I mean, how exciting is this? I like
lasers!
What's that?
Lasers!
Lasers, that's right.
Yeah.
I like that they immediately just like came out of the gate and were just like, yeah, this game is going to be influenced by Zelda, the original Zelda, not Ocarina of Time like pretty much every modern Zelda has been.
Well, this is the game that they were talking about when they were saying they were like really interested in making Skyrim.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's
what did you call it, Alex, before we started recording?
Well, I don't know that I'm the only one who came up with this term because I think it's such an obvious
thing
to call it. Zelda Scrolls.
Yeah.
I liked it.
I like that name, Zelda Scrolls.
So, yeah.
I don't like Morrowind or any of those games at all. I find them tedious, but I'm fucking stoked as shit on this. And it looks fucking beautiful.
It does.
But like, that is a very specific thing. I intentionally call it that, not just for some goofy ass pun, but because that announcement, or I guess reveal, invoked a lot of Elder Scroll feelings. Like when they were showing off Skyrim for the first time, they were like, "You see that mountain over there? You can climb it."
Yeah.
And they did the exact same thing at the Zelda presentation. And even if it's not directly inspired, this open world where you see some enemies along the way and you solve things the way you want, that seems very open world action and adventure RPG to me.
All right, and they pointed out that, you know, like, you can basically enter areas from any direction. You know, there's not just, like, a door you walk in to enter a forest, you know, or one path. You can kind of come in from anywhere and tackle puzzles from any direction. And that's amazing. And I kind of hope it borrows A Link Between Worlds kind of progression where you can sort of go where you want and tackle things in any order, or at least mostly any order.
I almost feel like Link Between Worlds was maybe like a trial run at that to see if they could get it to work.
I think so too. That was fantastic. So. Looks great. I think it's everyone kind of at first thought like, well, is this a female Link? Is this a male? You know,
I thought it was Zelda at first.
Yeah. I mean, he's kind of in between. He's always feminine looking. He has feminine features. But I could see how you could go either way on this.
He looks
like
a fucking badass at the end of it, though.
Oh yeah, but it did come out in the past like half hour that isn't necessarily Link that we're seeing in the trailer.
What?
Yeah. So whatever that means.
Well, also somebody on
it's got pointy ears for fuck's sake. It's
somebody
Link.
Somebody on Kotaku or Polygon or something pointed out that her gauntlets are the same gauntlets in the character art for Ganondorf in Ocarina of Time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So I have two things to say right now. The first
it's
is
Ganondorf's
a breaking
kid.
The first is that I think it would be really cool if they made this character androgynous, not necessarily like a hermaphrodite or both genders,
not
specifically,
not Tilda Swinton,
but as in they don't define what the gender is. They don't give a love protagonist, and they make it look just similar enough while giving a voice that's just boyish enough and just feminine enough where everyone's happy.
Right. You could basically, you're just playing whoever you want to play. Yeah.
Even if there's no customization, I feel like there's a Link that exists that can serve every purpose.
Yep.
I'm just happy also, they stuck with the Twilight Princess art style here, where it gets that kind of impressionist look when it gets zoomed out enough. That looks...
Well, not Twilight Princess, you mean
Skyward Sword.
Yeah.
Skyward Sword. It just absolutely...
Oh, yeah, it looks fantastic. Art. I mean, it does look like the next kind of, like, step
this game
for that art style.
This game proves Nintendo's argument that you do not need horsepower to make a beautiful-looking game anymore. It helps a lot. And it can certainly make a very looking beautiful game, but they don't have the horsepower of the PlayStation 4, and I think that looks as good as anything on the PlayStation 4 because of the art direction.
Yeah.
At the very least, with enough effort, you can make up most of the difference, if not all of it.
Yeah.
I have breaking Super Smash Bros. News just to break up the show. I guess you could put up one of those challenger approaching. But Pac-Man is in Smash Bros.
He is officially in Smash Bros.
What?
He is officially in Smash Bros. I called this literally right before.
Namco.
You did.
Fucking Namco.
Yeah. Wow. You're right.
Wow, Pac-Man.
And Game & Watch, apparently, but whatever. We knew that was happening. And it feels like they're revealing the whole Smash Bros. Roster. But hey, Pac-Man.
Well, yeah, but to review, kind of give you a peek behind the curtain, we were recording this during the Smash Brothers conference, or the roundtable, I guess I should say. There is no stream of that, so we can't be watching that. Otherwise, we'd probably watch that first before we do this. But, yeah, wow, crazy. So Pac-Man's there. I think that's been kind of a running joke, and now it's reality.
It makes so much sense. If there's going to be some Namco character, of course it's got to be this one.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's not the Ghostly Adventures
one. But couldn't
have been
Klonoa, you guys? Fuck, I wish that. I wish that
Klonoa would make more
sense.
I
wish that totally bullshit rumor screenshots that someone made up that I wish they were true. I knew they wouldn't be.
So pretty amazing. So back to Zelda, or I guess we can move on from Zelda. Does anyone have any final thoughts?
It looks like they're going slightly futuristic with this one, which I think is really, really cool. Not too futuristic, but just a little
bit. They're following
that like
Skyward
the arrow
Sword thing. Like the desert area in Skyward Sword with all the weird alien tech kind of stuff.
Oh yeah,
on.
That's true. I wonder if it's going to be linked to Skyward Sword in any way.
There's
definitely those
it
similarities.
Like it.
Hmm. Well, we'll see.
I'm just so excited for this. Oh, I know it's going to be
no,
next holiday
no
until we get
it, comes
it at
out
the very
earliest. Though.
You don't think it'll... I think it'll
no
have to.
No way.
It'll have
Dude,
to.
Look at how many games they're packing into 2015.
Well, how many
Zelda
depends...
Games, Zelda games always hit an inevitable lengthy delay.
Yeah. Yeah, 2015 might be kind
Maybe
of
they already hit it and we just didn't know.
So
maybe
you gotta
it was supposed
if,
to be out
you
this
gotta
year.
You got to think if this game's a year out, I mean, we didn't really see much besides, I mean, just sort of... I mean... Was that even in-game? Was it just kind of like a cinematic? I mean, we don't really know.
It was in-engine.
It was in-engine, yeah. But, I mean, so if that's all we're seeing, it doesn't even have a name yet. I don't know. Yeah, 2015 might be kind of wishful thinking, but I'm excited either way. So moving on, Alex, I think you'll, well, I guess Zach, you like Pokemon. We saw a little bit of, Pokemon. God, what are they? Omega nonsense.
Omega Ruby and
same
Alpha
shit,
Sapphire.
Different console.
Alex, are you excited about these?
Well, it's, yes, in the sense because I am. I just wrote an article on NintendoWorldReport.com about.
Because Alex is
about
the only staffer who likes those games.
More than every single other generation of Pokemon.
Was it your first?
No, I played from the very beginning. It's just,
oh, okay.
I guess not to get too quickly off course, but the reason why I love Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire is probably a lot of the same reasons why some people prefer Super Mario Sunshine, in the sense that it holds true to a lot of the things you love about Pokemon while doing a lot of wildly different things at the same time. Like, the world is based around water for once, which is a crazy concept. It holds your hand and is slightly harder than a lot of other Pokemon games because, like, it has that Braille shit. It has the slightly convoluted way you find Rayquaza. It makes you do your own adventuring, which I think is really great, and I think the music is really different, and I think the visuals are more colorful, as are the Pokemon designs, but that's only slightly relevant. Specifically,
no, see,
I think
Ruby and Sapphire is where they started to jump the shark with the designs. I mean, I'm not saying Magnemite and Voltorb are good, but like, I think some of the Ruby and Sapphire ones, that's when they started to run out of ideas, maybe. And that is, honestly, that is my only knock against the game.
I think when they started running out of, I guess, ideas is when they only had 70 Pokemon in X and Y. But that is beside the point.
That's weird, yeah.
Specifically, for these new games, I will tell you exactly what they are. This is them making a pretty straight remake of Ruby and Sapphire with some X and Y story bits and put on the X and Y Pokemon engine. I'm not saying that's bad. I'm saying that, based on what I've seen so far, and it's got some new stuff. It has Mega Evolutions for all the starters. It has these weird Mega Evolutions for Groudon, Kyogre, which you could call immediately upon seeing the trailer because of how different the characters look. But it looks like this is probably going to be a relatively safe remake, even safer than Soul Silver was. I don't think it's going to do anything crazy like the Sevii Islands and the original remakes did. And I'm not saying that's going to be bad. I'm going to play it. I'm going to be excited. And later this week, you're probably going to see me write 2,500 words on this game. But it's an obligatory Pokemon game, it feels like.
Yeah.
It's a moneymaker.
And you know what?
It's fine.
Super Mario 3D World was an obligatory Mario game, and look how that turned out for a lot of people.
Wow.
So maybe an obligatory Pokemon game.
No, it wasn't exactly
game,
a remake of an existing game. I mean,
right.
I'm just talking specifically about the sense how it's obligatory, how there's gotta be a Mario game on Wii U. Now there's kinda has to be a Pokemon game every single year, it looks like.
Is that, it's next year, or is that later this year?
That's this year.
This year.
We've had Pokemon games every single year for 5 years
now.
Yeah,
this is money. Money in the bank.
Wow. Well, there you go.
One of their few franchises that still makes a shitload of money.
Yep. Yeah, I don't blame them.
What'd you say, Zach?
It's October, isn't it?
November 20 something. Oh, I thought
it'll be a good test bed to see if Pokemon Bake works across games.
There you go.
Yeah.
So then next we got a look at Bayonetta 2 with all its great Nintendo themed costumes and the reveal that Bayonetta 1 will be on disc, or at least there'll be two discs either way. But yeah, they're packaged together.
I kind of saw this coming. I was expecting maybe a separate release that maybe if you bought the game within the first month, or I don't know, something like that, or like an eShop thing where you, if you buy Bayonetta 2, you get $20 back or something. But I'm just glad they're just throwing it in there. That's
yeah,
great.
That's really cool. Because I never played the first one. I
it
don't
makes
know.
Me, I played the demo and I thought it was all right, but now, you know, if I'm getting essentially two games for the price of one, you know, running on an updated engine, the old one, I presume, I may get them. I might be down for a weirdo Japanese action game.
Do we see what? Early October, I think, right? What, the first or second week of October?
It's in October.
Before Halloween, yeah. So, I mean, if we're not getting Smash till probably late November, early December, and there's not really going to be much else on the Wii U at the time, maybe. Right,
it'll
you know?
Be, yeah, Smash will be out on the Sunday before Black Friday.
Always, yeah. So, you know, maybe.
Interesting thing about this Bayonetta announcement,
sure.
Just for a second,
no, go ahead.
Is that it sounds kind of like that Bayonetta 1 deal is for retail copies only.
Maybe it'll be.
I mean,
if it's all on one disc, maybe when you buy it online, it'll just be Bayonetta 1 and Bayonetta 2. Click purchase.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I guess
it,
yeah.
Specifically said, like, with retail copies. And maybe retail includes digital purchases for them.
Well, if it's a retail copy, then you know what? I'll buy a retail game for once because it's two games in one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Save the gigabytes.
Exactly.
I already need a new drive.
Me too.
Well, a yep. drive, period. I don't have
my terabyte drive isn't looking so crazy now, huh?
I think I'll probably still only get 500 megabytes. Or gigabytes, rather.
Gigabytes, yeah. So, after that was Hyrule Warriors, which I find I steadily get more and more interested in.
I'll play this stupid game, why not?
I did watch a little bit of the...
I have the exact same sentiment.
You know, I watched a little bit of the playthrough during the treehouse stuff, and it actually looks pretty good.
It looks alright.
I watched part where they were playing... No, go ahead.
It bugs me, just like every Dynasty Warriors game bugs me, that, like, why are all these people just standing around not fighting?
I know, right?
Why am I doing all of the work if 90% of the enemies do essentially no damage and take essentially no damage, and then I'm really only fighting, like, every 10th guy or something?
Right. I mean, I could live without all the, like, needless grunts on both sides who are just kind of standing about. I think for the PS2 at the time it was cool because it was like, wow, look at all this stuff that's rendering. But now I don't care. Yeah, just, like, make it less cluttered. And
let it go.
But I was watching them play as Midna, and they were fighting some crazy dragon. And to beat the dragon, they had to power up the hookshot by talking to the Great Fairy. And then they still couldn't pull the dragon out of the air, so she shot the hookshot into the air, grabbed the moon from Majora's Mask and pulled it down onto the dragon to bring it to the ground so you could fight it. Yeah. That shit's insane.
Zach, you're going to like this game. You have not seen the renderings of the Great Fairy yet, but you will enjoy them.
Yeah. Find that. I'm sure they've got that stuff all archived on like the Nintendo E3 site or YouTube or something. But
okay.
Find that playthrough if you can. Yeah, it was badass.
It's interesting. I'm more interested in it. It will probably simultaneously be the best Dynasty Warriors game and maybe the worst Zelda game. But,
Not as long as crossbow training exists.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
You know,
I'm surprised that Midna's in there not in her human form, because that would have been more interesting to me.
Yeah, and that's going to fuck up the whole story, or timeline, right? Where does this take place?
This game takes... They've said multiple times this on the stream, it's a celebration of Zelda.
Yeah.
It is bullshit as far as the timeline is concerned.
Yeah, which is great.
It's like the Smash Brothers of Zelda games. Like,
there you go.
Let's put all our favorite things together and use them.
Yeah. So yeah, it looks really sweet. It kind of like, stays true to Zelda in a little bit of ways too. There's pots around the levels. You break them to get like refill your health
and rupees,
and stuff like
yeah.
that. Yeah, there's grass around that you can like cut or attack to get rupees and stuff.
And
so,
there's a rock you can throw like 30 bombs at it and make it explode.
So yeah, I don't know. The more I see, the more I kind of get into it. So, and they announced, I think that's early, what, September 9th, I want to say? It's early September.
I may get it. I don't know. I'll see how I guess I'll see what you guys think of it. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see.
I may be buying a Titanfall PS4, or not, I'm sorry, a Destiny PS4. I may be buying a Destiny PS4. I don't know.
There you go.
Holy shit, guys. The Great Fairy. Good lord.
Oh, did you find it? Yeah, there you go.
So, just found a screenshot of it.
Just seeing the Majora's Mask moon thing, like, even just for fan service alone, I kind of want to play it now. So after that, we got a quick little look at Kirby, Rainbow Curse, I think is what it was called.
My head exploded when they showed this.
Yeah.
The sudden sequel to Kirby Canvas Curse, which is unbelievable.
Which is the secret best Kirby game.
Yeah. Kind of makes sense, you know, Wii U's floundering. I mean, Canvas Curse saved the DS, so maybe it'll work for the Wii U. Who knows?
Yeah.
They didn't spend too much time on it, but it looks great. I'm excited. So, I mean, do you guys have any thoughts about Rainbow Curse?
It looks like Canvas Curse 2.
I love that it's claymation.
The claymation aspect of it is...
Yeah.
When they were showing it, I was like, oh, I wonder what they're going to call it. And I thought they might call it Kirby Claymation Curse, but I don't know. I'm glad they didn't, because I kind of thought curse. That was lame, but I thought that's what they might go with.
It'd be like
or
the
clay curse, or curse of clay, or who knows.
Right, you get that.
Mix clay in, because of the alliteration aspect.
I was just going to say, yeah, Kirby's clay curse.
Kirby's canvas curse, yeah.
Kirby's canvas clay curse.
Yes, so I thought they were going to do that, but Kirby rainbow curse, fine, whatever.
Whatever, that's fine. I don't care what it's called, I just want to play it.
Yeah, I want to go through there.
Did what? 2015, right? Or did it say? Did it say something?
Yeah,
about...
it's 2015 yeah. for some
yeah.
reason.
Most everything is, yeah. So then after that, we got an extended look at Splatoon, which I went from like, okay, don't care about this. This is when I'm going to be checking Twitter to, oh wow, this is actually kind of cool.
Right? Secret surprise game. They actually managed to keep something fucking secret.
Yeah, thanks.
Like
time.
Really secret. One of the Treehouse guys commented on the live stream who said, I cannot believe this didn't leak.
Yeah.
Literally everything else at E3 leaked this year.
Yeah. But yeah, so cool IP. So, it's a 4-on-4, sounds like online only, multiplayer game. To me, it's like a mix of like Gears of War and like paintball or something.
It
like, or
reminded
like
me a lot of the PlayStation Network game Fat Princess, where it was just like chaotic multiplayer kind of game.
Yeah. Just on a smaller scale, obviously. But at first it was like, okay, it's like a shooter. The goal is to paint as much of the level in your color as you can. That's fine. But then once they kind of showed how the ink really increases the strategy and how you don't want to just spread your ink to win, but to actually like fight better, I thought was really interesting.
And
how
move
you can
around.
Right, you like swim through your color ink so you can get around the levels faster. If you're in the enemy's ink, you slow down and kind of get stuck. There's a lot of different items like big paint rollers and different things you can use to like just spread paint quickly. I mean, it was almost like the perk system in Call of Duty. Like to me, I imagine you get like 5 kills in a row and then you get to use one of these like powerful things that you know, hits the level with a bunch of ink. So yeah, it just looked, it went from like, eh, to wow, I really want to play this.
I saw them do 2 runs of this on the stream. They did a run of it, like, I don't know, sometime around halfway through the day, and then it was also the last game they covered before they cut to Smash Brothers. They did it again.
Mm-hmm.
And man, it looks fucking chaotic. And it has this almost like, I don't know if I get kind of Team Fortress vibe to it in a way, just like the speed of it and the cartoony style of it. It just looks really cool and really interesting. And like, once you start watching the stream of them playing it for like an hour, you're like, oh, like this is going to be incredibly
right.
deep.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They said they'd been playing it, I think, for a month at the Treehouse. And you can tell that a month later, these guys are still probably staying late and playing it like every night.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks super competitive. I'm already like really excited for community nights with NWR. You know, just running games because it looks awesome.
This is such a non-Tendo game. It's
yep.
just
yeah,
not,
it was
not,
a real surprise.
It's unlike, and then when they first announced it, I was like, this is unlike anything they've ever done. It's probably going to suck because they don't know what they're doing here. No, it looks really good. Like,
yeah,
really. And all the impressions I've read of it, everyone's saying it's fucking good.
Yeah.
2015,
right. The only thing that maybe worries me is just that, it uses the gamepad's accelerometer, the gyro controls to kind of aim.
A little,
sounds
yeah.
Like, I don't know.
I think that's just for fine. They were saying on the stream that it's kind of like how in Ocarina of Time 3D, you would find yourself aiming with the joystick, but then when you got zoomed in and you wanted to really fine tune your shot, you would use the gyroscopes.
So you can use both. Okay.
I think it's going to be like they explained that it was basically like that.
Okay.
And they said it's basically a dual analog setup. You just also have this other thing.
Okay. Good. Well, that's good. So yeah, that was, I mean, definite surprise, but I'm very excited. And then the show closed, well, I guess there was kind of, or the conference closed with two things. The bigger was that, oh god, why can't, what's her face is in,
Palutena.
Smash Brothers.
Lady Palutena.
Palutena,
yeah. I thought it was gonna be an announcement for a Smash Brothers anime, and I was like, okay, yes.
Yeah,
like,
me too.
I want this. That looked awesome. And you know, it's the same thing. It's like, why would they go through the effort of all that just for this? Would they go through that kind of anime style stuff?
Because
just this, I guess.
Because
but I mean,
Sakurai, yeah.
I mean, is it just for this? Could there be more somewhere else? I don't know. Well, I guess we'll see. But, you know, that doesn't really impact me either way, the reveal of her being in the game. I'm not a big Kid Icarus fan, so.
I thought it was odd because wasn't she already unveiled as an assist trophy?
Was she?
No, she
yes.
She was unveiled as a regular trophy at like that Smash Bros.
Oh,
Direct,
just a trophy,
but
trophy.
She wasn't specified
like okay. a collectible trophy thing. Not okay,
right?
Okay, so that makes more sense. But yeah, she looked interesting. She looks like she has some neat moves. I'm happy to see another woman join the roster. I still wish they would add Birdo, but you know.
Oh yeah, Birdo would be cool.
So here's the thing about that that I thought was very, very interesting, is that at first you see Palutena, you see Rosalina, and you like roll your eyes. Well, I roll my eyes a little. I'm like, oh, fan service. But and then I think about it and I realize Nintendo really is trying to add as many female characters as possible into their games, which I get, which I guess is cool.
That's way and, cool, dude. It is like super
cool. I think it's interesting that even if Palutena by herself as a character might not be Smash Bros. Material, it seems like they're making her Smash Bros. Material to fit her in the game, which is interesting.
Dude, if the Wii Fit trainer is Smash Bros. Material, Lady Palutena is
a second tier Fire Emblem characters that aren't Marth. I mean, you know.
Yeah. Exactly.
There's plenty of lesser Mr. Game & Watch, Rob the Robot, they have a history of putting lesser characters in.
I wish they would have swapped that. I wish they would have showed the Pac-Man reveal during this and then had her reveal in the Smash thing that's going on right now. I think more people would be excited about knowing Pac-Man's there.
I'm very interested to see how Pac-Man plays.
Yeah, people on Twitter are saying it's awesome, so we'll see. I think they like his power pellets and stuff around the stage and shit. I don't know, it sounds insane.
Let's get Shantae in the game.
There you go.
That'd be ridiculous.
So, after the Smash thing, we got Miyamoto for a second playing a blurred out version of Star Fox, even though Time already told us Star Fox was a thing.
Yeah, like I said, everything got leaked, except for, what's the name of that fucking game? Squatoon? Whatever.
Oh, Splatoon.
I still can't remember. I keep wanting to say Squid Platoon instead of Splat Platoon.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's what it's a play on, or like a combination of, Squids and Platoon.
Like, they call the little characters Inklings, that's clever.
Yep. So then immediately after it ended, we got the reveal of Mario Party 10, some 3DS stuff.
No, wait, Mario Party 10 sounded interesting, you guys.
Because, one person plays Bowser
in it now?
No, the fifth player.
Now with Bowser.
The fifth player plays Bowser on the gamepad, and when the minigames come up, the fifth player is basically, their goal is to fuck with the other four players playing the regular minigame. So you're playing Bowser, and you shoot fireballs at them, and they're all trying to survive, and whoever survives, like the regular minigame, that would be a CG controlled Bowser, but now it's fucking fifth player. That's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought that was interesting.
So everybody's gonna hate the fifth player.
Pretty much.
Maybe it rotates, who knows?
Oh yeah, maybe. So there was that, then we had the IGN thing with Third Devil, is that what it was called?
Devil's Third.
Or Devil's Third, yeah.
I didn't see anything about this.
That is, pretty bloody, crazy Japanese action game.
Yep.
Which it's made by one of the guys who worked on, I think, the 3D Ninja Gaidens.
Itagaki.
It was Itagaki, right?
Yeah.
Like Mr. Ninja Gaiden.
Yeah.
And it's now exclusive.
This game has been passed around from publisher to publisher for a very, very long time. And it looks like whether it was a last resort or just the stars aligned, apparently Nintendo's putting out this long existing game.
It's the next in their line of Bayonetta 2s. They saved Bayonetta 2, a game that should probably never have come out on a Nintendo console that is now exclusive to a Nintendo console. And this is basically the same thing where this game is kind of like Bayonetta 2 needed to find a house and this game needed to find a house. And they both found the same house.
You know what? I had my paper. I had one paper over the other. One thing I forgot right before Splatoon was Xenoblade Chronicles X, which I know Alex and I will be excited about.
Yeah. Xenoblade Chronicles was a really awesome game. It's a spiritual sequel. Like, I don't think it carries over any story stuff directly from the last game, only themes. But I think that's a good thing because I forget almost all of Xenoblade Chronicles story-wise.
Right. I just remember the great combat and, like, the characters were pretty awesome. Yeah. There was the reveal right at the end. It probably wasn't the same character, but it was like the same species as the little puffball from
Rikishi or Riki or something like that. Something like that, yeah.
So he's in
you
there.
You missed one other thing though, from the direct. We did not talk about Mario Maker.
Oh yeah. How did I not write that down? Yeah, you're right. It must have been whatever it was after, I must have been freaking out about and just forgot to write it down. Yeah, Mario Maker looks fantastic. And, like, I love that it is totally inspired by Mario Party. Or not Mario Party, Mario Paint.
Yeah,
Mario
it's definitely Paint. An homage with the little dog for the undo button. And I saw the fly swatter.
The fly, yeah.
Somewhere.
Swatting around. Even the font. Like, it's the Mario Paint font for sure. For, like, the title and stuff. And, yeah, that looks awesome.
It looks interesting. I don't know. I wish I could just, like, for a lower price, download a client that let me play those levels and not make them, because I'm not that interested in making them, because I know I'm not going to make very good ones.
Like WarioWare DIY did. Yeah.
But I'm super interested in playing all of the fucked up, insane levels that other people make.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I've been, like, ever since Little Big Planet came out, like, all I've wanted is a game where you're making Mario levels. And I love that you can switch the skin, you can play, like, 8-bit, you know, original Mario, or you can play,
and they'll probably add some more stuff in there, too. I will be shocked if it ends up with just those two skins.
Oh, right? Like, I would love to see, Mario World and Mario 3.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that looks fantastic. I'm excited to see kind of all the just nonsense you can do with that. I guess they haven't really said much else about, like, how it's going to be released, right? To me, it strikes me as just, like, a kind of a cheap eShop download, or maybe,
yeah,
like, a
downloadable.
I think they'll charge $50 for it.
If they charge $50, they're on fucking drugs.
I think they
like, unless that game is huge, unless they make it more than these two games, they have all the things you will ever want, and you can design full worlds instead of just single levels that you have to download at 10 seconds each, they would be on drugs if they charged more than $20 for this.
Well, hopefully we'll get more. I think they'll make it a full-fledged product. I think we're only seeing the tip of the iceberg on it. And that's also, what, 2015?
Yeah. So,
2015!
Now, we should talk about 2015 real quick. I think a lot of these games, not Zelda, obviously. We will be lucky if Zelda comes out.
2015 is going to be a good year.
But I think,
for Nintendo.
I mean, I'm looking at these
for
games.
For everyone!
And I'm thinking Yoshi Woolly World comes out in the Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze spot. And I'm thinking Splatoon probably comes out in the Mario Kart 8 spot. You know, I'm thinking a lot of these that 2015 games, with the definite exception of Zelda, a lot of them I think will be early 2015. Hopefully most of them before E3.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess we'll
they
see.
They try not, generally speaking, they try not to announce stuff that's not going to be out by the next E3, except for maybe 2 to 3 games. And they were very clear,
Zelda,
like,
Smash Brothers,
Zelda,
that kind of stuff.
Smash Brothers, they took and they said up front, this isn't coming out till 2015, next holiday even. They were very clear about that, and they weren't clear about that with Zelda, but I think we all understand that it is. But they were very clear, like, these other games, like the Miyamoto Robot games and Star Fox, these are super early in development. I would expect those to be the 2015. If they're saying those are coming in 2015 and they're so early in development, those are definitely late 2015. Whereas the ones you're showing me, well, if those other ones are late, these ones must be early, because otherwise what the fuck else are you putting out from January to March?
Yeah.
Or May even. So I think most of them will get early 2015 as well.
I hope so.
I mean, that's me being cautious, or not cautious, just being optimistic.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching the Miyamoto stuff on the Treehouse thing today.
Yeah.
And they did say a few interesting things. It does sound like the robot game, specifically the fighting robots, Rock'em Sock'em kind of thing.
It looked kind of rough. I only saw like 10 minutes of it, but it looked kind of rough.
I think they both look kind of rough.
I didn't see the other one at all. I didn't see it at
that
all.
That one's further along in development, apparently, and they are aiming for a first half 2015. For the other one, that one is very early in development, and Star Fox, I was watching the Giant Bomb, like, commentary on the Nintendo Direct as, like, my second viewing before this, and Brad Shoemaker, I think, was saying that, regardless of what Miyamoto says, Star Fox is, like, as he heard, barely even in the conceptual stages as of this moment.
Yeah,
like,
heard
they
that
say
too.
Full development, but they only have a gameplay mechanic, it seems like.
Well, Chris Kohler tweeted that basically, yeah, they've got the concept there, and they actually want to farm it out to another, like, outside studio and let them work on it.
Oh, maybe Platinum will get it then. Yes!
Yeah, maybe. But yeah, that's what I heard, is, yeah, they just got the core concept, and that's it. Like, it's nothing right now. So... you know, whether that's good or bad, I don't know. It just means Star Fox is going to be quite a ways out. I think we would have all been less excited if that time reveal didn't happen. If we just heard, like, oh, there's a Star Fox tech demo, you know, as people were able to tweet about it, not time, you know, posting just throwing it, immediately deleting it, saying Star Fox is there. So I think it got our hopes up. So I have some tweets from fans of the show and other people on Twitter who watched the conference. I thought, for this last 10 minutes or so, maybe we can read through some of these. I think some have questions, some just have thoughts.
Hold on, Scott.
Comment. Yeah, what's up?
I just want to mention that I'm very excited, but also confused, that Shantae 3 is coming out on Wii U as well.
Yeah, how about that? That was announced yesterday, basically, in that big group of trailers.
Why not?
And, you know, related to that, let me read a comment here from Tim Hudson. He says, wondering why they didn't gloat about the amount of indie games coming to their systems would have shown strong support. And yeah, yesterday they released all those trailers, but there were like no mention of them today. I think they eventually ran all the trailers on the Treehouse
thing. They ran a trailer on the Treehouse early on in the Treehouse reel.
Exactly. But yeah, nothing in the big conference. And that kind of speaks to Alex's point about kind of information being dispersed all over the place. I mean, these trailers were all yesterday. And yeah, it was pretty easy to miss those with everything else that was going on.
That trailer specifically was kind of like a ghetto of a trailer, and I say ghetto specifically because, like, it had the indie games there, and then it had weird not indie games, like the new Yu-Gi-Oh! Game was stealth announced for localization yesterday in the indie trailer.
Really?
And there was some other, like, games that aren't quite big, they aren't quite a big Nintendo game, but they were just stuffed in there as, this is the other shit we got coming.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. And it was just kind of weird to stuff everything in there. I guess I'm sure they talked about it and decided, well, I think it's better to show all this crazy first party stuff, than devote Nintendo indie stuff. Maybe they just thought that wouldn't grab people's attention. Just kind of a sizzle reel of trailers. They went for the big guns. And I think it worked. I mean, for me personally, I think I'm more excited about what they showed than if I'd seen the Shantae trailer in the middle of, you know, the Wii U presser. Or the Nintendo presser, I should say. So former staffer Tyler Olu says, the digital event killed me, my family will mourn, but quickly get over my passing when they play these amazing games. That's kind of the feeling I had. I didn't really know what to do with myself after watching the conference today. Disco Stew kind of hits a point we've mentioned a little bit. The announcements look freaking amazing, but 2014 is looking a little barren. Can't wait for Captain Toad this year, though.
To be fair, 2014 is looking a little barren for everyone, at least.
Yeah.
How many other games announced this year were for 2015?
Yeah, that's true. Off the top of my head, I can't really think of any, like, huge releases
Destiny.
For the rest of the year. Destiny, yeah, Destiny will be one.
Well, I think we're getting Grim Fandango HD this year.
That's a tentpole.
Yeah, I don't know that that's a system seller, but yeah, I guess though, when you've got Smash Brothers coming out on both your platforms, I guess I don't know how much else you really need for the rest of the year. I'm imagining they're thinking that's going to carry them through till early next year. Let's see. I'm really impressed. My question is, this is from MetaMass on Twitter. He says, I'm really impressed. My question is, will worldwide gaming media be impressed as well? Xbox and PS4 did nothing for me. I don't know. I mean, Twitter, everyone, I mean, even non-Nintendo fans seemed pretty into everything that was going on. I mean, a lot of gaming journalists who cover everything were pretty high on Nintendo above everyone else. I mean, also, it was today, and it's fresher in people's minds, but what did you guys think about that? I mean, do you think this is good news for people who don't own Wii U's yet? Is this going to sell systems?
It's going to sell systems next year.
Yeah, it's going to sell systems next year, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think a certain amount of people are waiting for Smash Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of people were probably not. First of all, people who are waiting on the system aren't watching E3.
Some of them are, but they're waiting on to purchase as a secondary system, maybe.
Yeah, okay, that's true. But, you know, I think a lot of them will say, okay, Smash Brothers, I can still buy Smash Brothers in 2015.
Right, yeah. To me, if Smash Brothers isn't going to sell you, the only thing on this list to me that really sells you a system is probably Zelda. Yes. To me, everything else is like a nice, like, accompaniment. Like, okay, yeah, Yoshi looks great. Splatoon looks interesting, there's X, you know, different things like that. But if you're not already buying one for Smash Brothers, I don't think you buy it for anything else but Zelda.
Probably true.
So
it's a little scarier when you actually think of what exists past Zelda, because you know what they're going to do? They're going to have a Mario sports game in 2016. They're going to have some weird stuff. But outside of Zelda, Mario Kart, Smash, and Mario, the only big game they really have left, short of a new franchise, is Animal Crossing.
Metroid, hello!
That is not in the same league as Animal Crossing and Smash sales-wise.
Okay, it's not like it was one of the absolute best-selling, best-reviewed games ever on the GameCube, but okay.
Well, but that was also a long time ago. I mean, I think I agree with Alex. I think the luster on Metroid is kind of gone.
I don't think the luster is gone. I think that if they've had a bad game and if they can put out a good one, all of that luster will return. And yeah. You know what? We may get that tomorrow.
It yeah, who knows? Maybe. Game. Which does nothing.
Yeah, I'm getting my hopes up again.
Does nothing for the Wii U, but yeah, maybe.
I don't know. My feeling with Metroid ever since Other M has been kind of like the same with Star Fox. Like, you didn't like this Metroid game we put a lot of effort into. You just don't get Metroid anymore.
they're punishing us for not enjoying.
They're punishing us for not loving their shitty Metroid game.
But yeah, you have a good point, Alex. But I mean, that always happens. You know, you get the big release and you're like, okay, well, what's next? What can they do? But there'll be something. Mario for sure. And then yeah, maybe new IPs. I mean, there'll be Star Fox. Not that that's necessarily a system seller, but that'll be down the road a few years. So I don't know.
I just hope that tomorrow's thing isn't like some. And it's is it just? Do we know if it's 3DS or Wii U?
It's 3DS factually. 3DS, like this is a 3DS focused game. Okay. I don't think they'll reveal a Wii U game because if they did, they would have said it was Wii U and 3DS.
Yeah, you're right. No, okay, it's I was going to say I hope it's not 90 minutes of showing off. Miyamoto's tech demo.
Oh god, no. Yeah, it's something we don't know about yet.
That game is either going to be Project Steam, Metroid, or Majora's Mask. Those are the only three things it can
be. And Majora's Mask can't take up 90 friggin' minutes.
Not a release of Majora's Mask, no.
Yeah. Just on sales, quickly, I think before this press conference today, I didn't see GameCube sales for the Wii U, even counting Mario Kart. Just before today, I saw it not even hitting that potential. Today, I don't see the Wii, but I'm starting to see GameCube a little more.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense. I'm starting to see them get closer to maybe 20, 25 million. I don't know if they'll get to 50 million, but it looks like it'll at the very least join the club of those. It wasn't so horrible, even though it wasn't necessarily a success either systems.
You know what was exciting for me is like all through the Wii years, in these conferences, it's like, okay, there'd be good stuff, but then you have things like Wii Music or just sort of these like, sort of, I hate the term casual and hardcore, but sort of these like catering to everybody types of games. And I think they were able to cater towards everyone without like alienating, I guess, core fans, if you will. I mean, everything here is what I saw was something I want to play. And I think that's a really good sign. You know, there wasn't, like, any filler. Yeah. There was nothing here. I mean, I thought it was going to be Splatoon, but it wasn't even Splatoon. There was nothing here where I, like, got a chance to kind of, like, look away or go to the bathroom or just not pay attention. Like, everything is interesting.
Yeah. It wasn't like the Ubisoft press conference where there'd be something awesome and then, oh, Just Dance.
Right, or the Sony one where they spent 20 minutes talking about some crazy digital comic I don't care about.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know? Like, everything was cool. Everything was great games, so.
Everything was awesome.
Yep, there you go. Lego, hashtag. So a few more here. The Catapults said solid announcements and a real contrast from the other big two platforms where are Metroid and F-Zero missed opportunity. I think at that point you're just nitpicking. I mean, with everything we were given, I mean, this is exactly like what the Robot Chicken stuff was like kind of making fun of. It's like you get all these reveals and you're like, yeah, but where's this one?
We got F-Zero, you guys. It's called Mario Kart 8.
Yep. I agree. Anti-gravity.
Bowser's Castle, that is a fucking F-Zero track.
So yeah, I think at that point you're nitpicking. I mean, they can't just like every year release one new game from all their big franchises. I liked everything I saw. I can wait on Metroid. And honestly, I could live without F-Zero after Mario Kart. Just saying.
Yep. Unless they can make another one as good as F-Zero GX. If they can do that, I want it.
Dude, just HD-ify it.
Yeah.
I would take F-Zero on 3DS. I mean, I know it would look fantastic on Wii U. It looked great on GameCube, but I just don't need it there. I don't know. We've already talked about this, but I'll just give him a shout out. Chatten asked, "What do you think about End Strategy about not showing everything in all event in one single event, but spreading new games out all week?" We've kind of talked about it. I don't think it's a big deal, but I can understand that information kind of gets lost that way too.
It's all on their website,
right?
Yeah, I think it's fine. I'll be checking the news sites every day anyway.
It might not be all on their website right away, but if you go and check at the end of E3, it'll all be there.
Yeah. David Proctor said, still no real third-party support, which is unsurprising, but oh my, those first-party offerings, very excited.
This reminds me of, like, we talked about it, and it's going to be on this upcoming episode of Connectivity. Johnny and I talked to Neil about E3 2004, and now I'm starting to feel like that one had some more third-party stuff because they weren't in as dire straits, but they were really kind of like down on their down on their knees at that point, and they had to really come surging back. And I feel like this is kind of similar this year.
Right. I mean, apart from like Xenoblade and Bayonetta, and I guess
and the, those are all second billion, party though,
or not billion, the hundred, you know, third party indie games that are coming.
Right.
Yeah. Indie games are, I feel like Nintendo really should be trying to gain as much ground there as possible, because people who like indie games are people who like classic games, and people who like classic games like fucking Nintendo.
Yep, I agree. So yeah, but no, I wasn't surprised to see a lack of third-party support, really. I mean, this was them just saying, we'll just make everything ourselves. And they were hitting, like, you know, a bunch of different franchises, different types of gameplay, so I'm into it. I think that might be it. Yeah, let's call that it. There might have been a couple more, but oh well. Sorry, everybody. So that will do it. Thank you
Should
for listening.
Should we grade it quickly, just as a last go-around?
Yeah, what, out of 10? Is that how you want to do it?
Just grade it. However you see fit.
I don't know how to grade it, but I really enjoyed it. It was great. There's nothing I could want more in, you know, nothing I would add to it, and nothing I would really take away. No filler. I was captivated from start to finish, so I think it was great. One of their best in recent memory.
I agree with Scott.
I'm going to say, relative to the list of menu choices at Taco Bell, this was a cheesy gordita crunch. Pretty good. Maybe not the best thing on the menu. Pretty good. Satisfying.
It gets 4 out of 5 Doritos Locos Tacos.
Yeah.
What about you, Alex?
I would say Zelda looks amazing. Smash Bros. Is going to be okay. Well, no,
this
I mean,
isn't a grading. This is like a summary.
Yeah.
And there'll be a grade after that. I mean, the teacher leaves a little comment first. Smash Bros. Is going to be okay. Pokemon's going to be Pokemon. I hope everyone enjoys all the other pretty good announcements. Most of them weren't for me. I would still say definitely better than a lot of the other conferences. I think we're going to have a little conversation tomorrow, at least, where we go into that a little bit more. I think compared to at least everyone but Sony, there's a conversation we will need to have there tomorrow.
Sure.
Compared to at least everyone else but Sony, Nintendo brought it.
Yep.
And I am happy about that. There's stuff I didn't like about the presentation format, but Nintendo brought it.
Yep.
And because of that, like, B plus probably, actually.
Okay. There you go. All right. Well, yeah, thank you for listening, everybody. Like Alex said, we'll be back with more this week. We'll probably talk about non-Nintendo stuff tomorrow or the next day. And then all the Radio Free Nintendo feed, they will have impressions from E3. That's the team.
And they're doing little video things, like, every day.
Yeah, they're the away team. We are the home team.
Yeah, so the away team will have impressions. They played the game, so look forward to that later this week. Alex, Mike, Zach, thank you for being here.
Yep,
and we will talk to you guys later.
Goodbye, fellow Inklings.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.